The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that.
Well, it was not that long ago where we were afraid we would not have a college football season at all. Thankfully, they figured out how to get the teams on the field. But this week, Trevor Lawrence will not be playing for Clemson as he is tested positive with COVID.
Man, yeah.
Really disappointing for Clemson. And really, this is the best player in all of college football who will have to sit out at least this one game against Boston College.
Yes, and I think Clemson's going to do fine against Boston College. Of course, in true Clemson style, it's next five-star up. I mean, you saw that defensive line. The entire D-line, the front seven, went into the draft, and here they go. They just step up the next and haven't missed a beat. So they're bringing in freshman DJ Uiagalelei.
I'm glad you said that. Could you say it again for me?
And I mean, I'm hoping I'm doing it right. DJ Uiagalelei.
I like the way you
say
that.
6'4", 250 pounds. I mean, he is a true freshman. And
he's built like a linebacker.
Sure. He's absolutely built like a linebacker. And you know what's great in true Dabo fashion? He's kept all the QBs, you know, at socially distanced during their practices. And so it's been, so far there have been no contact tracing that showed up. But Clemson does test on Fridays. Maybe something will come up. Hopefully, it's just an isolated incident. But, you know, this week they face Boston College.
Yeah, they should be able to get by Boston College,
yes.
In my head. The big one is the next week.
Oh,
they
yeah,
face
Notre Dame.
And the protocol is that he has to sit out for 10 days. Hypothetically, he could get back on the field and play Notre Dame if all goes well. But it strikes me he wouldn't have had the ability to practice, the prep. I mean, that's the big matchup for Clemson. That's going to be a great game, Notre Dame and Clemson.
Right. So this is interesting for many reasons. In a perfect world, as soon as his symptoms started is when the 10 days starts. So hopefully he'll be able to take the field against Notre Dame. If he doesn't and it doesn't go well, they will possibly see them again in the ACC championship game. And this whole situation with Trevor Lawrence could definitely open the door for Justin Fields of Ohio State to make some inroads.
We shall see. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk NBA. Daryl Morey going to the 76ers. Mike D'Antoni,
what?
Looks like he's going to the Nets. We'll explore those next when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And it appears that we have some breaking news in the NBA that Mike D'Antoni will join Steve Nash's staff there for the Nets. And that's a big hire. Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash reunited.
Exactly, and it feels so good. That peaches and herb. I'm dating myself. That's embarrassing. No, what a great hire for Steve Nash and for the Nets. I mean, they're poising themselves to go for it with Kyrie Irving, KD, bringing in Steve Nash as the head coach, D'Antoni as the assistant, 76ers assistant Ime Udoka is also joining this assistant staff. Amari Stoudemire is coming in. A lot of old Phoenix people.
The old guard, they reunite.
I mean, wow.
I think it's a great, very confident choice by Steve Nash because the team is stacked. When you bring in KD and Kyrie, there's going to be a very high expectation for this team.
But they're coaching together.
Well,
don't you worry.
There is that myth. Yeah,
maybe.
Who's the real coach of the Jets? I mean, I said Jets, no Nets. But here's the deal. I mean,
let's not put that Jets moniker.
No, they don't want to be the Jets. But there are going to be really high expectations for that team. And if they stumble out of the gate, people are going to look at Steve Nash and say, oh, he's a rookie coach. He doesn't know what he's doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there will be whispers that, well, maybe D'Antoni should step in, that Nash should go. Nash has done something here that shows his confidence. And he's picked a guy he obviously trusts and knows very well.
Well, D'Antoni coached Steve Nash in Phoenix with the Suns from 2004 to 2008. Had a great run. I mean, that's where that whole small ball, really fast system came into play. And Steve Nash won two-time league MVP under D'Antoni.
Yep.
So he has incredible respect and admiration for him. You know, I think a question mark for New Jersey is not going to be with their coaching staff. I think they've done an amazing job there, even though Steve Nash is a bit of a risky hire because you've got some real talent, a team that's poised to go, and he's a rookie head coach. But the other question mark is in Kevin Durant, who, believe me, I love me some Kevin Durant. That guy is just a complete all-around player. He is coming off of an Achilles injury.
It's a tough injury.
It's a tough one, and it's really rare to come back 100%. So do the Nets have enough around them to be able to do it with an 80% KD? You know, and knowing KD, he could be 100%. But it is a big question mark that really is not being talked about a lot, but it is something to watch.
Fascinating stories with the Nets. Another big headline this week, Daryl Morey, the former general manager of the Rockets, will become the president of basketball operations with the 76ers. And that has unleashed a whole flurry of rumors about whether Daryl Morey will want to come and get James Harden, the guy he traded for, developed with the Rockets. Will Morey come back and try to make a deal that Rockets can't refuse in order to get James Harden?
He may try, and you can't blame Morey for trying because, A, he did bring him in. And you look at James Harden's point average for the past 3 years, 30, 36, and 34 points a season.
Very impressive.
Really unbelievable. I would find it hard to believe. I don't think Tillman Fertitta, owner of the Rockets, is too thrilled that 2 weeks after Daryl Morey resigns or turns in his resignation that's set to take effect November 1st, the guy's got another job.
Right.
So I think I don't see Tillman being like, oh, sure, take our guy James. I don't know what the 76ers can get, would be willing to give them for Harden. It's not going to be Embiid and Simmons.
Certainly not both, but one of them. There's no deal without one.
And it really would, to me, would have to be Simmons. You've got to pair James Harden with a really talented big man because the Clint Capella experiment in Houston was working until that blew up when they traded him. But I think James Harden with Joel Embiid is a match made in heaven. I don't know that the Rockets are going to allow that to happen.
Well, it's very interesting because you've got two superstars on the 76ers and Embiid and Simmons, and then you've got Harden and Westbrook on the Rockets. And if you listen to all the rumors, and everybody's got an opinion on how this will all shake out, there's a mix and match there. There's almost a game of musical chairs playing. I've seen scenarios or people speculate that it will be Westbrook who will go to the 76ers and Embiid who would come to the Rockets, and then the Rockets would get the Harden and Embiid duo.
Oh, there we go.
That would be ideal for the Rockets, I think. I think that's the best duo. If you looked at the four players, if you could combine Harden and Embiid, that's really interesting. I don't think there's a fit to combine Westbrook and Simmons. I've heard people argue that.
They're too similar in
ways. But they both like to slash the basket. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are great shooters.
Right.
That combo doesn't really work for me.
No, that doesn't work for me either. What's interesting, too, it's such a small fraternity in this NBA world. So Elton Brand's going to remain in Philadelphia as the general manager. Daryl Morey has a great relationship with Doc Rivers, who's the new head coach. So I think that's going to work really well.
They were together way back with the Celtics long ago.
And then Morey talked to the Clippers, you know, thinking about coming over there. But now the Rockets have a head coach as of yesterday.
Well, they hired a guy that everybody seems to respect. It's not a big name. This is not one of those NBA coaching retreads that you always hear about. I thought it was going to be Jeff Van Gundy.
I know, me too.
But we've got Steve Silas coming to the Rockets. He will be their coach. And I guess from what I've read and heard about him, he's a guy that everyone has to respect. It's a reasonable hire for the Rockets.
Well, he's definitely paid his dues. He's been an assistant coach in the NBA for 20 years with Cleveland, Golden State, Charlotte, and Dallas. So you look at, and he's had a history of doing a great job working with terrific guards in Luka Doncic, Stephen Curry, Kemba Walker, and he also worked with LeBron in Cleveland. So, I mean, he's got a resume. And his dad's Paul Silas, former player and head coach.
I remember Paul Silas.
Some good pedigree.
Now, you are sitting here in Houston, Texas. I know that you're a Rockets fan. Would you have rather had Jeff Van Gundy?
I do say I have a bias towards Jeff Van Gundy, yes, because I've seen what he can do, and I trust that. I mean, I don't know with Steve Silas willing to give him a shot. I think his resume looks great, and people really like him. But if I had to pick, I would have taken more of a proven quantity, but I'm up for anything.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy as a name certainly has a bit more sex appeal as a hire for the fan base here in Houston, Texas. Of course, we may be living in a world where there won't be fans to come to the stadium anyway in light of COVID. So ticket sales to the game is not the number one thing. You've got to get a guy who can get the team back on track. I guess when I look at the Rockets, I just can't see what move they can make this offseason, what step they can take to really be a contender in the West. And if you conclude you're not going to be a contender in the West, particularly in the West, which is pretty stocked when you think of the Lakers and the Clippers and the Nuggets, et cetera.
Brutal.
I think the Rockets should be open to trading a star or two, and I don't want to use the word rebuild, but really reposition and get younger and accumulate picks, because they've really been in a win-now mode for several seasons without winning the ultimate prize.
Right.
And it's sort of a time to regroup.
No, I agree with you, and they've got a tricky situation, and they have a rookie general manager, a rookie first-time head coach. You know, It's going to be hard to make those big decisions with people at the helm for the first time. But you know what? They've got a great base, and they have made great decisions in the past. It's just really, I think it's going to be a little bit tricky.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Robert Mays. He covers the NFL for The Athletic, and we're going to ask him, is it really time for Tua? That up next. Robert Mays from The Athletic. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project?
No, we need Ghostbusters.
Oh, well, we have Ghostbusters, but even better, we have O'Reilly. And O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on The Boss and the Gloss is Robert Mays. He covers the NFL for The Athletic. Robert, thank you for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Well, we love having you back. Want to talk to you about the big story in Miami. What are your expectations for Tua this weekend?
I think he's probably going to be okay. You know, against a very good, sound Rams defense, I wouldn't be surprised if he had problems, especially when you consider the talent mismatch between the Rams defensive line and the Dolphins offensive line. But you know, they put him in there because they think he's ready. They watch him every single day, and when you consider how good Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing down there, I have to assume that they have decently high expectations. So it may not be fireworks from the jump when you consider how good the Rams have been defensively for good chunks of this season, but I think that he'll be a functional NFL quarterback from day one.
Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow have really performed well. Do you think that put a little pressure on the Dolphins to show that they've got a good young quarterback as well?
I don't think so. I think that they've been pretty steadfast in how they've abided by their timeline down there, you know, whether it was with their rebuild and how committed they were to tearing things down and being patient with how they rebuilt that roster. And I just feel like they wanted to put him in on their own time, and they thought that after the bye was the right time, and the pieces around him to make sure that they're not actively going to detract from his development, which I think is the only real argument for why you shouldn't play a rookie quarterback when you get him. So if they think that everything is lined up, again, for their timeline to be possible, then I think that's the reason you ultimately make this decision.
So we're talking to Robert Mays, who hosts the Athletic Football Show. He's joined by NFL writers and analysts to break down the biggest stories throughout the world of football. Very informative, very entertaining. Robert, we're so glad you're here with us. So staying with the Dolphins for a minute, Ryan Fitzpatrick having one of the best seasons of his career, disappointed with the benching, but being unbelievable to Tua. Couple days left in the trade, trade market. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick, is there a trade market for Ryan Fitzpatrick? Can't even get that out this morning.
Possibly. I think that it's about where teams see themselves. You know, like a team like Dallas, for example, if they think they're going to be without Andy Dalton for a decent amount of time, you know, do they think that they can make a push for the playoffs? I don't think that they should be in that mindset. I also think Dalton might be back sooner rather than later. And how much of an upgrade are you getting, really, even though Fitzpatrick is playing decent? I would argue he's playing in a better offense, just in terms of structure, and even with a better offensive line in Miami than he would be in Dallas. So I don't know where the market would be, just because I'm not sure how many teams think they're a quarterback away from making any sort of push. A lot of the teams that have decent playoff aspirations and would want a half-season rental from Ryan Fitzpatrick probably have an answer at quarterback.
Speaking of Dallas, is Mike McCarthy going to be one and done?
It's a great question. I mean, when you consider it speaks to just how this process has gone overall. You know, I remember when they decided that Jason Garrett was going to go, or when it was clear that Jason Garrett was going to go. You sit back and you think about the Cowboys and what the Cowboys are. They have endless resources, endless. You know, there's no salary cap on coaches, and there's no change in there are no limits on the power you could give a coach. You know, the Cowboys have this set up on the personnel side where Jerry is the general manager, and I think that that overall structure and the way that things are set up there probably would take some big name candidates off the table. So that's how you end up with a guy like Mike McCarthy. It's somebody that Jerry Jones probably thinks he can keep his thumb on, and he doesn't have to have personnel power and all of those things. So that's probably what they're looking for. You know, in my mind, I want to say, well, the Cowboys should probably try to go get a better head coach. The Cowboys have the deepest pockets of any team you can imagine. But it doesn't seem like they want to go that route. And if they don't, it feels like they would just give Mike McCarthy another run and kind of explain this away. So I expect him to be the coach next year. But based on how things have gone, I think that there absolutely is an argument for them trying to start over and actually going to get a coach that people would be excited about. Mike McCarthy was the least inspired choice possible for a team that can and make an, that could make an inspiring choice. And that's just why I never really understood it.
Well, it definitely doesn't take the shine off of Jerry. So that could be just the reason he's still there.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that having something to deflect to, having a coach that he can really kind of lord over probably is a priority for him, which is just frustrating. If I were a Cowboys fan, I mean, I've been to that practice facility in Frisco. It's like a palace. The fact that you pump all of these resources into all of these things, and you could be the most attractive destination in professional football for all the top coaching candidates, and they've chose not to go that route for the past 15 years with how long they hung out at Jason Garrett and now going to Mike McCarthy, it's just frustrating. I can't even imagine what watching that team, rooting that team is like.
How do you evaluate the Buccaneers signing Antonio Brown?
I don't really understand it. I mean, from everything that Bruce Arians said before the season and how steadfast he seemed to be in his belief that Brown wasn't a fit, and you know, the personalities weren't a fit, and just how much you have to be talking out of both sides of your mouth to sign Antonio Brown at this point. I mean, Bruce Arians is someone who's given opportunities to a lot of women in the business, and he's given opportunities to a lot of people. And I think that, you know, he's been somebody who thinks about dynamics and all of those things. And now to sign somebody with Antonio Brown's background and some of the things that are still ongoing when it comes to some of the off-field stuff, I just feel like there's an air of hypocrisy to that choice. And I'm not even sure it's necessary on a football level when you consider everything they have, even if the football consideration should be less important than the other ones.
We're talking to Robert Mays, who covers the NFL for The Athletic. Let me ask you about the Patriots. Cam Newton has struggled. Are they at the point where this is a must-win this week? Can you see the Patriots recovering and getting back into the playoff hunt?
I think it's going to be really difficult. If they lose this week, they're three games back in the division, and not even only three games back in the division, but the Browns beat the Raiders, for example, and I think if the Colts win this week, they'd be 2.5 games up on the Patriots in the wild card. The Browns would be three games up. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't see it happening for them because there's no real light at the end of the tunnel. It's not as if they've had some bright spots on offense and they've gotten a couple unlucky breaks. And Julian Edelman is now out. So now you have even less weapons. I mean, he was playing, he was a shell of himself, but he was still on the field. My concerns with the Patriots coming into the season have shown up a little bit. You know, they just have no explosiveness on offense. Damir Bird is their most explosive offensive playmaker, and that's not a good place to start.
Yep.
And then when you compound that with just how bad Cam Newton has looked over the last couple of weeks, it's been truly shocking because he really played well over the first couple of games of the season. So, you know, if this was the first week of the year and he was playing like this, it's like, oh, well, you know, Cam just didn't have anything left. They made a low-risk decision. It was worth it, but on to next year. But the first couple of weeks of the year kind of led you to believe that this might work out. And he was throwing the ball accurately and all of these things, and now it's just kind of completely fallen off the rails. And it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly why. So if this is what they are, what we saw over the last couple of weeks, I have no reason to think that they can bounce back. They're also a below-average defense. So their problems are coming at you from every single direction right now.
And they are not used to that at all. So, Robert, Cleveland, who are these Browns? I mean, we've got one week talking about moving away from Baker Mayfield, that he's an average quarterback. The next week, they're contending for a Super Bowl. Will the real Browns please stand up? Shed some light for us.
I think that Baker Mayfield is still in a transitional period within this offense. You know, I think the people there would tell you that he had a long way to go to get ready to play in this offense. When you consider the background he had as a quarterback in terms of his education at Oklahoma, it was very different than what he's been asked to do in the NFL. A lot of the stuff that he was asked to do over the last 2 years with Freddie Kitchens doesn't translate to what this offense is under Kevin Stefanski. And so he's young. His quarterback mind is young, and he has a lot of bad habits. And what they've tried to do to him offensively in this system is restrict him with a lot of just easy reads, a lot of play action, a lot of boots, getting him on the move to try to take stuff off of his plate mentally. When he has to play quarterback, he has struggled. And I think that will continue to be the case. Now, this is the best possible system for him to have success. I'm just not sure how much success he could have in any system. And I believe in that staff there. I think that Kevin Stefanski is a very good football coach. I think that the assistants they've gotten there, whether it's Bill Callahan or whatever, when they get healthy, if they get Wyatt Teller back, who's been the best guard in the NFL, they get Nick Chubb back, I think that they can build kind of an offensive machine there that lessens the impact Baker Mayfield has on the game, and they can be fine. But I think that right now, when you consider Baker's limitations and the limitations they have on defense, their secondary has been kind of a nightmare. They've been a little bit banged up. That their ceiling is kind of limited as a team. I don't think that they're going to be able to compete with some of the real teams in the AFC. But I do think that year one of the Kevin Stefanski era in Cleveland right now, as it's currently constructed, is a success.
We're talking to Robert Mays. You can read him at The Athletic. So the trade deadline is Tuesday. What big name do you envision getting traded?
That's a great question. I mean, it feels like Houston could deal a couple of those guys.
Yep.
They feel like it's time to start over. They don't have a lot of draft capital going forward after the deals that they've made. They could try to recoup maybe a second-round pick that they lost in that Laremy Tunsil trade, whether that's J.J. Watt. If they try to trade Will Fuller. I think it's hard to trade a franchise icon when you're in this kind of turmoil filled season like they are in Houston. I think that would be a tough sell, but I could see them trading one of those receivers and just kind of starting over. I mean, that's a version of that team that probably never needed to exist in the first place. So having them move off from that would make sense. And maybe a team goes after a guy like Stephon Gilmore. You know, that's the underrated part of this these Patriots struggles is that if they continue, if they're out of the race, is this version of the Patriots over? You know, the Tom Brady version was already gone, but for the most part, the other guys that had comprised the New England Patriots in this era of the team were still there. The offensive line is mostly intact, the group that we saw when we win Super Bowls. The defense, even if Dante Hightower has opted out this year, you still have Stephon Gilmore over there. You still have Devin McCourty over there. So what do they end up doing with those guys? I think that's the biggest question.
Amazing to think the Patriots could be sellers. Robert Mays, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your insights this morning.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Take care.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
So as everybody knows, I've been spending most of my show here trying to understand what you're going to do on Halloween night, Carla.
And you know I'm not trick-or-treating.
What kind of costume you're going to wear, where you're going to go, what candy you will eat. But I'm going to tell you this, the best place to be on Halloween night this Saturday, there's a night of action that Showtime pay-per-view has in store for you. Coming to you live from the San Antonio Alamo Dome, it's two of boxing's most popular fighters, Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz, will meet in one of the best fights that can be made in boxing. Each man will be putting their titles on the line. There's also a stacked undercard. You can purchase the fight on Showtime APP on your smart TV or connected device, or simply order online at Showtime.com or contact your cable TV or satellite provider. That's where you will be for Halloween in a boxing costume.
You know it. Gloves and all.
Eating 12 Snicker bars.
Thanks.
And 3 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Okay, that is not good.
And 2 Kit Kats.
What are you saying about me?
I'm just saying I
know
you
know,
like
actually,
chocolate.
Don't answer that.
Ron, speak to this. I hear
no,
it coming.
I'm with that. I actually need some trick-or-treaters to come to my house.
Well,
for any
to get
reason,
rid of it.
To get rid of it, because I know I won't be able to throw it away.
Well, you, we'll
they're going to go someplace.
You know what's always left is the Twizzlers.
Are they?
No, they're always left.
Those aren't left.
I love them. I know. They're my favorite. But yeah.
We still have, I mean, I'm ashamed to say this because we put everything in like in a Tupperware. And then that Tupperware just kind of gets piled upon of just random junk food that the kids come across over the. There's still some, I think, from last Halloween in there.
Oh, yum. Mm.
Yeah.
So give it away this year.
I'll give that to the kids and say, if you're bad, this is what you get.
It's like petrified candy. Yeah.
Yes.
it's a new twist.
They're going to the dentist Monday. It's okay.
Ugh. All right, so we'll send Carla in a boxing outfit over to your house trick-or-treating, Ron.
Yes.
That's the deal.
We've connected all the dots here.
Full-size candy bars.
Ron is not surprised. This Raider girl will do just about anything, so would not surprise him.
All right, turn her loose. Send her out. But you do need to see that boxing match. Back to the NFL. The trade deadline looms on Tuesday. And there have been some big names traded over the last few years. You know, it wasn't that long ago it seemed that nobody made a trade in the NFL during the season. But last year, I remember the Jalen Ramsey trade was a big one at the deadline, right around the deadline.
This year, it worked out well for the Rams.
Well, it did.
Not so much for Jacksonville.
No, Jacksonville is struggling mightily. But right now, you look at, there are a couple teams that need receivers. I mean, I might say the Ravens need some receiver help. The Steelers need some receiver. Not the Steelers.
The
Packers need some receiver help. The Packers and the Ravens especially. And there are a portfolio of receivers available who I think could really make an impact. I mean, out of Houston alone, you've got Will Fuller, who might be available in trade. Kenny Stills is out there. Brandon Cooks might still be available.
You're taking the speed out of Houston.
Well, at this point,
although it's not doing them a whole lot of good right now.
Yeah, the Texans aren't able to, they're not able to take advantage of it. Look, I think the Texans are going to have a better second half of the year. Now, that's not a profound statement, given how bad the first half of the year was.
They are 1-6.
They're 1-6, right. So I'm really out on a limb. No, but they're better for a variety of reasons. One, the schedule is going to be a little easier. It was brutal in the first half of the year.
Right.
And then I think there's a sanity there, an order that Romeo Crennel has brought to the locker room. I think Bill O'Brien just operated in some level of chaos. There was a tumultuous nature to his personality, and he lost that locker room. So they're going to be better, but they really, I think, need to be sellers here at the market. They need to accumulate some draft picks. I can't see they're trading J.J. Watt because what he means to the franchise, because he is the face of the franchise. From a marketing perspective, J.J. is so valuable. But I do see these receivers as being available for sale.
Yeah, the receivers might be, and I agree with you about J.J. Watt. He's under contract through the 2021 season. And this season alone, 3 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble, and 6 quarterback hits. That's pretty nice for a guy that's on the other side of 30.
Yeah, he has really come back from injuries, and he's so good at playing at a high level for so long. But, yes, at this age, you have to question how much more we can get out of him.
Well, and he's under contract again for one more season. Yeah. I think what's really ultra important about J.J. Watt that makes him so likable, it's not only that he's just this incredible ambassador for the Houston Texans. He is for the entire NFL. He's just a great human. He's got a great work ethic. He came from, you know, very normal American background. He's a workhorse. But here's what I think has really endeared him to everybody and makes him invaluable. He is not afraid to be authentic. He came on week 3, said, I mean, this is depressing. Like, yep. This is ridiculous. It wasn't like, well, you know, we're all pulling it together. Yeah, a couple losses in a tough schedule. Nope. And then he got into it. He with Bill O'Brien, he and Bill O'Brien versus J.J. Watt and Anthony Weaver during practice the week before the Pittsburgh Steelers game. And that was vocal. And J.J. Watt handled it with class. But he didn't back down. He's like, yep, and this is a business, and we can't play like this. I mean, I think people really gravitate towards that. Hearing the real deal without giving away locker room secrets, it was basically, this is a frickin' disaster, and O'Brien needs to go. You could read in those tea leaves, no problem.
Well, there are rumors that Seattle and perhaps the New Orleans Saints are interested mm-hmm. in J.J. Mm-hmm. He would be a nice addition to those two contending teams. Another guy who could probably help put pressure on quarterbacks would be Washington's Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, he's long been a front seven force. He can collapse the pocket. He might be available for trade as Washington is probably not going anywhere this year. Going back to wide receivers, it's interesting to me. I mean, we talked about some of those Houston wide receivers, but there are other names that are probably available. Golden Tate of the Giants, maybe Marvin Jones of the Lions. There are even whispers, Pro Football Talk was reporting that there might be teams interested in trading for Amari Cooper. And, of course, that's a question whether the Cowboys would want to give him up. Cowboys do have real depth at the receiving position, and the Cowboys should be sellers, so they might entertain an offer for Amari Cooper.
You think Atlanta might be sellers? I mean, they had the big win last night over Carolina.
Yeah, no, I think they are sellers, and Julio Jones might be available. He's got a tough contract to trade.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think those teams really ought to take advantage of the chance to accumulate draft picks. I mean, one thing, I look back at the Dolphins, and when they really realized they were not in contention, they traded away Laremy Tunsil, picked up
Minka
a bunch of picks. Minka Fitzpatrick. And look at what's happened here. They're using these picks to build the team. And look at what John Gruden did when he got to the Raiders.
Yep.
He realized he wasn't going to win in the here and now with Khalil Mack, and he traded away for a bevy of picks that he's turned into really good quality players, including one of the best running backs in the league in Josh Jacobs. So I really respect what they've done. And I think if you're not going to win this year, don't put on that macho image, we're playing to win every game throughout the course of this year. I think you have to have sort of a sense of self-realization about where you are and position yourself for a better future.
You know, you're spot on, and the Raiders are a great example. The difference in looking at the Raiders and then you look at a team like the Houston Texans, who obviously at 1-6, I don't see it getting a whole lot better, need to do something going forward, especially because they have their franchise quarterback locked up and one of the best quarterbacks in the league who's being hampered by terrible mismanagement. The difference is that Las Vegas brought in an amazing and accomplished head coach in John Gruden, and a first time, a rookie general manager in Mike Mayock, but man, has he earned his stripes. That first draft and second draft have been amazing. Houston not only has, well, Romeo Crennel's the interim head coach, but they don't have a young, progressive head coach going forward. and their GM was Jack Easterby, who stepped into that role, who was under Bill O'Brien, who okayed the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Maybe not even okayed it, but supported it. I just have a hard time thinking anything with any semblance of sense can happen with Jack Easterby still there in the general manager role.
Yeah, a lot of holes to fill in that front office here in Houston. You know, looking at the landscape right now and thinking about Trevor Lawrence, who, of course, we said earlier, will sit out this week. He cannot play because he tested positive for COVID. He will not play against Boston College. But there's so much activity and dialogue already about what team will get the chance to pick up Trevor Lawrence. And it's so interesting, of course, on an interview here on Sports Map Radio with Jake Asman, Joe Namath came on and said, look, if the Jets do end up with the number one pick, they need to take Trevor Lawrence, and then they would ship Sam Darnold out, and maybe he'll get traded to the Broncos or some other team that really needs a young franchise quarterback.
Sam Darnold is cheering for Trevor Lawrence to go number one, too, believe me.
Well, yes, and Sam would be set free, right? He'd get out of that situation. But I really think when we think about the Jets, it'll be a wholly different picture next year. Adam Gase will be gone. Maybe the general manager will be gone. They'll have the number one pick. They'll get draft capital for Sam Darnold. If they manage the transition well, they do have a chance to really resurrect that franchise. I know those are a lot of ifs. And the history of the Jets does not – the past does not hopefully really reflect on a positive future.
Where quarterbacks go to die.
But yeah, Sam Darnold could get traded. But, you know, the same question, the same point could be posed to the New York Giants. The Giants are sitting at 1-6. The Jets are 0-7. They're one game apart. Shoot, the Jets look like they might actually win last Sunday. They might blow this thing. And the Giants would be in the same boat. They could take Trevor Lawrence number one, and then they would have to look hard at Daniel Jones. They could trade Daniel Jones. I actually think Sam Darnold would bring back more in draft capital than Daniel Jones, but I may be splitting hairs.
Yeah, at this point, it's really hard to tell being lost in those franchises that are going nowhere.
Well, right now we've got some good games coming up this weekend. I might say the one that's the biggest head-turner, well, it's certainly not Dallas and Philly in the NFC least. I'm going to go with the Steelers and Ravens. That's a great matchup. Ravens with just one loss. Steelers, the lone undefeated team left in the NFL. How do you break that one down? Are you optimistic for the Ravens?
No, I'm not optimistic for the Ravens. You've got Lamar Jackson, 31st in the league in passing. That front seven at Pittsburgh, this could be a long day. I mean, they've got such a storied history. It's always going to be a great game. But if I'm a betting woman, I'm taking the Steelers in this one.
Yeah, there's a
reason. They're clicking on all cylinders.
There's a reason the Steelers are undefeated. They really had all the defensive pieces last year. I mean, adding Minkah Fitzpatrick was great. It was a big loss to lose Devin Bush was a loss, but they've got Watt and Hayward and Dupree on that front line. It is an exceptional defensive front. And then with the return of Ben Roethlisberger, they're hitting it on all cylinders offensively. When Big Ben doesn't turn the ball over, he's
got
weapons.
Does, yeah, I know he does. Enough weapons to make up for that.
He almost gave the game back to the Titans last week with his interceptions. Yep. But his weapons are great, and adding Chase Claypool to that receiver core was a really great pickup for them. I'm just very impressed with what the Steelers are doing and the return of Ben. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is still great. They are a team worthy of respect right now. Certainly two of the top four teams in the AFC.
And do you feel like the Lamar Jackson we're seeing this year, do you think the shine's off a little bit from what we saw last year? Or do you think he's just moving on the same pace and they just need to bring out some more pieces for him?
Well, to me, the problem with Lamar Jackson was he was a run-first, pass-second quarterback. And you can win a lot of games that way because teams aren't built to stop that, but it doesn't take you to the highest level. You'd struggle to come up with a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, a quarterback who really looks like, plays like, performs like Lamar Jackson. What you need, Lamar Jackson will get there, I hope, for him, but he needs to be able to stand in the pocket and throw the ball 30 times if that's what defenses give him. Clearly, defenses are setting themselves up to stop the run, to stop the read option run that he does.
Because they know that's coming.
They
know
it's coming.
When you're 31st in the league, they're not worried about you passing.
But if you make that guy stand in the pocket and throw the ball 30 times, well, we haven't seen him win that way. Or if the Ravens get behind by 17 points, we haven't seen them bring them back. That's Lamar Jackson, his need to develop still. He's just not a finished product. I think the hype on him last year was a little ahead of its time.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll look at the our final picks in some of the big games coming up this weekend. This is the Boston the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage
from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, this has been a day of award-winning Halloween music, thanks to Ron Culver. We got Thriller now. We had Ghostbusters earlier. We had the Addams Family. I mean, Ron is pulling it all out.
You knocked it out of the park.
I had to save the best for last, right?
Yes, you did.
And this
video.
This is the
all best. Time great.
It truly is.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Jackson was very, very talented, very troubled, but amazing what he did in that video.
I did learn this dance. I watched it, rewind, watch it.
Oh, you can actually do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Why does that?
Maybe
that does
someday.
Not surprise me.
Not
Ron.
At all, does it?
I mean, we all know that in her off hour, she's off at the hip hop dance studio.
Wouldn't it have been more surprising if she's like, "I've never done this dance before in my life."
Yes, you're right. Even the like the part where they all get. I mean, I even know the part without the words. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I have perfected it.
This is a big revelation.
What about Vincent Price's rap?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, you'll get there.
Darkness falls across the land.
Oh, nice. Run.
Well, that's all I got.
Well, see, we could partner up. I got the dance moves. You got the rap. It's a rap. There we go.
All right. Well, I want to be sure that everybody knows that this hour of The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You got that, Carla?
I got it.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio. We'll be back
Happy
next
Halloween.
Week.
Be safe.
Happy Halloween.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.